Good day, dear listener, and welcome to The Vagabond Dilemma, hosted by the gallant Rudy and, well, me, Henry. We have a special episode for you today, in more ways than one. Unfortunately, Rudy recorded this episode on the wrong microphone, so please forgive us for somewhat subpar audio. Other than that, please look forward to sinking your teeth into some wild speculations about serial killers and mountain kings, which lead Rudy to quite some unfortunate conclusions. Without further ado, please enjoy the episode.
Wait, we done this fact!
Yeah, we have done that.
No. Then, wait. It's gonna be fine.
You have to open with a zero. What?
I don't know, Henry. It's crazy. December is crazy, isn't it, Henry?
Yeah, this is so crazy.
It is crazy.
It'll never not be strange to hype up a month that we're not even in, but...
I am, by the way, are you like, okay, because we are recording this in November.
Yes.
Are you awaiting December?
I really don't care.
You know, people like you is why that we have Scrooges for Christmas.
Yeah, because I'm indifferent.
Yes. Your trope okay. Is becoming a bald-ass hunchback man. And then becoming okay. A Scrooge.
Well, there goes your Christmas present.
What, a Scrooge?
No. Well, never mind.
I get it now.
Oh, do you? Because I don't even get it.
Oh. Well, I will still gift you with love and affection.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I won't.
Gift yourself with love and affection. How sad.
Yeah. Yeah. Not this year, you know? Sometimes you just gotta dial it back a bit.
No, I love myself every year.
And you're wrong for that.
Have I told you what would happen if me and another me would go into a room?
No.
And I know I'm going on record for saying this, but I have said this before. And people, I swear to God, I would do this. I love myself to the extent that, like, if me and myself, like another clone of me, perfect identical twin, would go into the room... And we would be locked in there. We would kill each other, yes, because there can only be one. But we would fuck.
But don't you think that's weird?
No, I think there's a perfect amount of self-love.
I think that's too much. I think that's like entering narcissism.
When you think about it from a psychological perspective, that's why maybe I'm obsessed with Italians, because they reach my drama levels. So I'm looking for myself and somebody else.
Okay. Okay.
Bottom line being, give me a shout, Italians, huh? I'm a nice boy. I help you out when you need me. I provide entertainment. I will not cook for the life of me, because then we both die. But hey, we'll have a fun time, huh?
Yeah.
But well, no relationship, because that shit doesn't last anyway.
Yeah, it's just the back of the auntie
love. No. Not anti-love. By the way, I don't know where it came from that I hate all love. I don't hate all love. I do not.
It came from you.
It didn't. I just said I... not disrespect and not respect. I respectfully decline love romantically coming towards me at high speed. Everything else, you find. I don't know where it came from that I hate love in general.
Okay, weird way to phrase it. All right. Anyway, moving on, there's one thing, you know, you said, am I excited for December? And I said no, but I went and bought a new coffee 2 days ago.
Now that's cool.
And I got talked into buying a December coffee, is what the name is. So maybe I am secretly looking forward to it, huh?
December coffee?
Yes, because... I wanted the same notes, or similar notes, as I had last time in this December coffee, and I think you'll like this. It smells heavenly, by the way.
Ooh.
It has tasting notes of chocolate, caramel, and mocha.
Ooh, that sounds rather sweet.
It should be, and I'm looking forward to it. Because last time I had one that tasted chocolatey, I thought I wouldn't like it, but it was chocolatey, but in a subtle way, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was really... quite enjoyable, so I'm looking forward to this.
I am waiting Christmas or December rather, because I want myself some wintry tea, as in like something with cinnamon, probably.
Ooh, I get that.
Some orange.
Orange.
Or mandarin or whatever, the tangerine.
Yeah, tangerine. Yeah, no, I know, but I don't know. I don't really couple that with winter.
And you're foul for that.
All right, let's end the episode. I've had enough of this.
By the way, just to check. Your time scale right now is, for your audio recording?
My time scale is 15 minutes.
Oh my god.
So just for context, since nobody else will know this, or is this even in the episode?
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest. You either will know about this because I didn't fix it the way it was supposed to be fixed for the last episode, or you would have never noticed.
Yeah. So what happened is that we recorded the last episode from last week, and Rudy accidentally recorded it on like
a wrong times speed. Or
something speed. It was a bit weird. Either way, it said for Rudy that we were 12 minutes in, and for me it said that we were 35 minutes in, which is the correct time. And then after finishing the episode, he listened back to the file, and it was just like Alvin and the Chipmunks. So let's hope we're good this time. Well, what is your time scale, Rudy?
Now it's 7:30-ish.
All right, we're good then. We should be good. Okay. I have approximately the same.
And now everybody in the actual podcast listening will be like, what the fuck, we're in 5 minutes? And I'm like, yeah, because I cut out the first two.
Truly audio magic.
Right. But anyways, actually.
Anyway.
Sorry, were you going to say something?
Well, I was going to suggest that we move on.
Yes. Today, because I love you all so much, and it's December, I have done a special episode for you.
Ooh.
It's going to be a special in the sense that, I'm going to preface it with this. Vagabond Dilemma is, of course, about vagabonding around, right? Exploring. And although most of our heroes are single protagonists, or there has been even some animals in us, right?
Mm-hmm.
I also feel like we should sometimes recognize the fact that there are mysteries of the world that has a lot to do with exploration, but it's not necessarily somebody's story, in a sense of like, it's not one person's story.
Right.
And there could be some examples you could think of, such as the Bermuda Triangle.
Okay.
There was another example, now I forgot probably completely, so I don't know, Pyramids of Giza. But I also thought, because when I was thinking about this episode, I also thought, those are the crown jewels. You know what we're going to tease about them, but we're not going to do it now, just yet. So,
okay.
That being said, we're going to another triangle today.
Okay. Really interested in seeing where this whole story is going.
Namely, one called the Bennington Triangle. Which is something you probably have never heard of.
Should I open my Google Maps for this?
You can. It's not a very Google Maps heavy episode, but you can definitely do that if you want to.
Bennington, you said?
But wait. Oh, don't Google just yet. I will tell you why it's named like that and stuff. I just name dropped to see if you have heard of this. And evidently you haven't.
I mean, this sounds like the Bermuda Triangle we have at home, if you know what I mean.
It's basically that. But, as you know me, we do a little bit of backstory.
Yeah.
And the timescale we're going to be talking in right now is quite recent-ish. Well, by modern standards, I would suppose. Okay. It's a window between 1940 and 1950.
Oh, so really the Second World War.
Yes, and there are a lot of things I could have done for the facts segment here that would be, you know, around World War focused.
Yeah.
But fuck that, I'm here to spread love, so I didn't do any of that.
Right. Okay.
So, but I have done something else for facts, which are interesting inventions that will tie into the story later on indirectly. that has nothing to do with war that I found out, which is, some of them are pretty funny, I think, considering that it was that time of the year, you know?
So, may I ask, is this supposed to be a wholesome episode?
Or just
not necessarily?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then I will force World War II.
Please don't. Well, anyways.
Okay.
Go so, on. First fact. 1941. We're starting with a good year, huh?
Yeah, that's a real banger in the world context, huh?
Yeah, but anyways. In New York, WNBT becomes the first world commercial radio station, huh?
Boo.
We were starting to rock around the Christmas tree worldwide.
All right.
Then, the same year, aerosol insect sprays go on sale in the US. Quite a random fact, you would think, right? Well,
yeah, that is quite a random fact.
Yeah, yeah, but we're gonna keep going with the random facts. 1944. Elizabeth Taylor stars in National Velvet, filmed in California, where Taylor was living as a war evacuee. Later on, B.F. Skinner describes Project Pigeon, a system which Google would eventually be based upon.
Huh?
These facts seem to be very random, don't they?
Yes, they do. They almost seem like an advertisement for aerosol spray.
No, no, no. 1945. Percy LeBaron Spencer invents microwave oven, and Coke is registered as a trademark by the Coca-Cola company.
Okay.
1946, Enrico Piaggio launches the Vespa scooter in Italy.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Louis Rouard introduces the bikini swimsuit in Paris, modeled
by
Michelin.
This is all supposed to be.
There's connection. I'll let you figure it out. There's a connection.
Right, there's a lady on a Vespa in a bikini with spraying insect spray with a Coke in the other hand.
No, you don't have to think about the specific person then. 1947, Edwin H. Land invents the Polaroid instant camera, which prints black and white photos in 60 seconds.
Wait, can we hop back a bit, by the way? Who was the bikini inventor?
You don't. That's not on our focus. You don't have to focus on that.
I want to give him a shout out.
Bikini inventor?
Yes.
Louis Riard, but modeled by Michelin Bernardini.
Well, shout out to both of y'all. We owe so much of the modern world to you.
Truly, truly.
Okay, what was it? What did you say before I so rudely interrupted you?
1947, Edwin H. Land invents the Polaroid instant camera. 60-second print black and white.
What was before? Oh, before you had to just wait forever to develop it?
I guess.
Well, shit.
1948. Kenneth Wood launches the Kenwood Chef food mixer, and Daimler introduces electric windows in cars.
Oh, there you go. You know, that's actually kind of crazy to think about. Like, how recent that is.
Yes, it is. It is quite recent. But we keep pressing on with random, seemingly random facts. Columbia Records introduces long playing record.
Okay, meaning that there's just more tracks on a record?
Yes, you can listen to music longer now. And that is enough facts for you to figure out where we're going.
Yes, we're going straight to the Bennington Triangle, where there's bikinis, there's Coke, and hey, there's records.
Yeah, and what does that tell you? What would a person do with all of those?
Go on a Coke-fueled binge? I don't know.
What? No. Electric,
I don't know.
You lower down your windows, you play your long record, drink Coke.
It's a party?
It's a vacation, Henry. It's a retreat.
A vacation? This is... No, you can't say this like
I
I'm an idiot.
I named you one of the, like, some of the most important components for a good vacation.
Aerosol insect spray.
Yes, because if you go to stay, I don't know, like, with tents somewhere, you need that.
A Polaroid camera?
Yes, taking pictures. Everybody does that.
What else was the shit? Well, bikini,
Vespa, if you want to do a...
The Vespa's a stretch, but I'll give it to you.
I mean, in Rome, when in Rome.
In Rome, when in Rome.
Yes. Coke, for obvious reasons. Radio. I told you about the radio establishment. I think I also threw in some food cookers oven thingy in there. Cook some picnic stuff.
Electric car windows?
Yeah, just you know, roll them down in the summit. Just vibe.
No, I can give you everything except for that one.
No. You just didn't think wide enough, brother.
Nah, you're trying to trick me, you little sicko.
Anyways, well, we are going to the U.S. More specifically, okay. We are going to southwestern Vermont.
Ooh.
Which is mostly known as a bucolic setting. It's mostly what? Farms, woods. It's idyllic, I would say.
Yeah. So Vermont is the northeast of America.
Yes.
For anybody that's not aware. And it's quite a small state.
Indeed it is. And if we want to be even more specific, we are going to today be interested in a 93 square kilometer area of thick woods.
I said northeast, right?
Yes.
Okay. Just northeast, because I already immediately forgot what I said. I don't want to be wrong on this, because this is the one thing I
care about. God damn, I hate when you interrupt me. I now again lost where I was.
What? We were going to the woods. Sorry.
Yes.
I need to be correct on this. For well,
maybe. You are a sicko.
I am.
Thick woods. Oh, yeah. Centered around the Glastonbury Mountain.
Ooh.
Now you can use your Google Maps to find Glastonbury Mountain in southwestern Vermont.
Glastonbury, you said?
Glastonbury.
Glaston.
Yes.
Glastonbury Mountain.
Yes.
Yeah. Mountain Vermont. Okay.
All right. And I'm not gonna go into much detail about the area itself, except that there now is an urban legend of alleged the Bennington Triangle, which is a term coined by American author Joseph A. Citro, which, by the way, a fucking mystery, I swear to God. I have no idea what the A stands for in his name. I googled the shit out of him, and I never found what the A stands for.
Maybe it's just an A.
I don't know, like, because it's Joseph A. dot Citro, so it's an abbreviation of something, but I never found out what the A stands for.
I mean, what if it's actually just A?
Why would there be a capital A with just an N there?
What if his name is just A?
You know what? We'll roll with that, I guess. This specific author was an enthusiast for bizarre and horror-ish tales. And he named this later as a Bennington Triangle due to some dead-end disappearances in 1945 till 1950.
Okay.
And it is a hypothetical triangle. There are no precise borders, but if you want to draw somewhat of a precise map, I guess, it centers around the mountain, the Glastonbury Mountain, as I said, and it encompasses towns such as Bennington, Woodford, Shaftesbury, and Somerset.
Okay, let me have a look for these. Oh, yeah, I see.
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
And the way we're going to do this episode today is there are five famous disappearances in that area.
Okay.
So I'm going to tell you a story about each of those disappearances in a short, you know, compact form.
Yeah.
And then our segment later for will be, maybe we'll come up with some original solutions as maybe there's connection between them, you know?
Okay.
Or something along those lines. We're gonna figure it out. But anyways, I'm gonna name you people and then talk like a little bit about them.
Okay. Interesting format. I like it. Let's have a look.
Yeah, actually, name the segment name is The Disappearances.
Ooh.
So we will start in chronological order with Midi Rivers, November 12th, 1945.
Okay.
74-year-old, experienced outdoorsman, might I add. Familiar with the local area. He and four others are on a hunting trip, right? After splitting from his son-in-law at a fork on the path, he goes missing with the only evidence found being a single rifle cartridge in a stream. Later on, I will add, was searched for by firemen, local volunteers, and eventually even the US Army, never found.
What counts as a stream?
Stream? River stream.
Yeah, but like when I hear stream, I'm imagining like 1 inch or like
10 like
centimeters
that.
Deep, like maybe a 2 meters wide.
Like something that you could probably jump over, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that.
But it's mountainous streams, so who knows?
Okay.
Right. So that was Midi Rivers. Then, Paula Jean Weldon, December 1st, 1946.
Wait, sorry. What? The first guy was called Midi Rivers?
Yes. Yes.
What a name, what a name. Okay.
Fuck off. Cut the guy some slack.
I mean, it's not his fault, but it's still funny.
Well, anyways, God, I hate you. I have to repeat myself now.
Bro, I'm trying not to interrupt. I'm trying to find a natural insert.
Well, anyways, December 1st, 1946. Paula Jean Weldon.
Paula.
Guess the age?
46.
18. She was a hiker, hiking on the so-called Long Trail. Many witnesses saw her depart, not wearing a jacket at 10 degrees Celsius outside temperature.
That's pretty ambitious.
You can say that again. By the way, later in the day, allegedly fell to below minus 10 Celsius.
That's a pretty radical weather swing as well.
Well, I mean,
that's a 20 degree difference in one day.
Yeah, I don't know, but like allegedly I checked two sources for this and both said the same. I mean, I had to convert from Fahrenheit, but still.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm sure it's possible, it's just pretty crazy.
I mean, it's a mountainous trail, so probably like wind and whatnot, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
And yeah, and she disappeared on the trail. Last witnesses are elderly couple, and they claim they literally saw her walking about 100 yards, which is approximately 91 meters, I think, in front of them. For the most part of the start of the trail, so they were just walking and always like, you know, like she was seen. And then she turned the corner on the trail, and then when the couple reached the corner, she was already gone. And later on, 4 week search led by her father and the police, and there was nothing. Didn't find her.
Bruh.
Interesting, innit?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'm more surprised that they don't find anything, because...
Well, for example, for the Midi Rivers, they found, what was it, a single rifle cartridge in the stream. So there was something. Yeah. But we're now moving to the crown jewel of these five disappearances. This one is going to be a zinger, a puzzle.
Oh.
James Tedford. Again, okay. December 1st, 1949. So 3 years later, but to the same day. Mm-hmm. A veteran, and yeah, as I've had written here, the most mysterious part of the puzzle. So the story goes, he was visiting relatives in St. Albans and was accompanied to a local bus stop. So that's a different town, right?
Okay.
According to witnesses, 14 of them, 14 witnesses, Tedford got on the bus and was still aboard at the last stop before arriving in Bennington, which was his last stop.
Right.
So the stop before Bennington, he's still on the bus, everybody knows. Yet somewhere between the said stop and the town he had, like, he tried to come back to, Bennington, he vanished.
Yeah, and the bus driver didn't see shit?
Here's the kicker. His belongings were still in the luggage rack, and an open bus timetable was left on his seat. He never left the bus, allegedly, for the, like, if you count the namesake of the 14 witnesses, which is the bus driver included.
This is some creepypasta shit.
It is, and I'm gonna be honest, like, I love this kind of mystery stuff, but I love it from a sense that I always want to know what actually happened. I love if people put some mystery on it, and there's some creepypastas coming from it, but at the end of the day, I do want to know what, like, in reality happened, right? Right. And yeah, until this day, it's a puzzle that people haven't solved. Like, it's one of those things that are like, huh? I mean, it's been quite some time, so maybe there's some come-up details that, like, weren't real and stuff. But, I don't know, 14 witnesses never left the bus and yet vanished somehow?
I feel like that has to be a eyewitness failure. There's no way, like... Well,
He left the bus like a normal person, why leave the luggage on there?
Maybe you forgot.
Everything?
I mean, God knows I forget. I had a couple of weeks ago where I forgot a ton of shit every time I left. So, I mean, it just has to happen once at the wrong time to seem really suspicious, you know.
True.
But anyway, let's continue about this later. Let's continue with the disappearances. Yeah.
Okay, well, anyways, the fourth one. Paul Jepson, October 12, 1950. An 8-year-old boy accompanied his mother in a truck. She left the son unattended for about an hour while feeding the pigs in a farm. And guess what? Son was gone. The boy allegedly was wearing a bright red jacket that should have made him more visible because the search parties were pretty extensive. As an 8-year-old boy, everybody's up and about. Even bloodhounds were used to track him. Never found him.
Well, that one at least I can understand.
And then last one for us, Frieda Langer, October 28th, 1950. Aged 53, she and her cousin Herbert went on a hike, leaving their family campsite nearby. Whilst hiking, Frieda, well, ate shit and fell into a stream. She got out just fine, and she told Herbert that she would just quickly go back to the camp to change clothes, and then they can resume the journey. So Herbert was just left waiting. Then after a while, Herbert's like, well, she never came back. I'm going to start, like, you know, go back to the campsite. Yeah. Goes to the campsite, finds out from people she never reached the campsite. Over the next 2 weeks, 5 searches were conducted with aircraft and up to 300 searchers. And this is the only case where they did find. Only half a year later, her body was found 3.5 miles from the campsite, but no cause of death was determined due to the state of the remains.
Bro, like, how... Okay, I'm sorry, this is on Herbert. Why would you just wait? Why would you not just go together?
I mean, she probably told him to just, like, wait there.
So if I was Herbert, I would say, I'm not gonna fucking wait here, let's just go together.
It seems logical, but first of all, remember, they're Americans. Okay. Second of all, they're old Americans, so less, like, they went on a hike, yes, but the old grump was sort of like, I'm not gonna walk back there because you ate shit in the stream. You walk back and come back.
I don't know, it just seems really weird. I think there might be some trickery afoot, you see.
Well, this is where we move into the other segment. So, so what? It's 5 disappearances, the most known ones. Somewhat actually in the same time of the year, October, December, November.
Yeah.
And in a span of 5 years.
I have a theory which will, be correct.
Yes, okay.
And you'll hear, you'll know why.
Okay.
It was Herbert, and the last story really just makes it clear, Herbert is the Vermont serial killer. Why does it happen at the same time of year? Well, because every year he's there at the camping site, huh?
For 3 months,
yeah. Well, he likes his vacations, what can I say? So, in the last case, well, it's pretty obvious. It's like, oh, I'm going to wait here, but in secret he bashed her over the head real quick.
Okay.
And in the first, what was the second one again?
Paul Jean Weldon. So she was.
That was the one that was cold. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the hunter, Mr. Rivers, Mrs. Weldon. You know, those are pretty standard serial killer stuff. She's alone, gets hit with a rock, hop, toss them into the trash. They're gone. The real mystery. Well, the little boy, you know, it's also, I hate to say it, but it's not a big obstacle.
Yes, okay, fair, but what about the bus guy?
Yeah, and here's the real kicker. Herbert was the bus driver. And when he was the last person in the bus, he got up, whacked his ass, left his stuff there. You know, I don't know, put him into a suitcase that was under the bus. Took him home, huh? And then, like, I don't know what happened.
But what are the 13 other witnesses, not counting the bus driver, then?
Well, they weren't on the bus anymore, right?
But then they wouldn't count as witnesses.
But you said they saw him on the bus, but not, like, at the last stop.
Yeah, so they know that...
But they weren't in the bus anymore, I thought.
No, they were. That's the thing. Those 14 witnesses all reached Bennington.
Okay, then let me slightly adjust my theory. He put sleeping gas into the bus.
For some reason, I thought you were going to go with the cannibal family theory.
That, I mean, that's also a theory that they were all in on it. But he put sleeping gas in the bus. Everybody fell asleep. He plucked out Herbert. Sorry, Herbert plucked out the guy. I don't know what his name was. There's too many names to remember. And then, yeah. Then they all woke up and it was like, whoa, where did this guy go? This is crazy.
Okay. I mean, yeah, it's a plausible theory, I guess.
There you go. And the reason the last body was found is because by that time he got real sloppy.
Yeah. You know, funny you should actually go to the trope of murder mystery, because that's probably what people think when they first hear these kind of stories. And I'm going to be very clear. I never wanted this podcast to become a murder mystery podcast, so I looked into it. Is there anything that would indicate that this could be a murder in, you know, like, spree, let's say? And of course, right. Police has looked into it, and if you go and Google the Bennington Triangle, there's a lot of theories of what happened, one of which say that police see no reason why this would be a murder case, because they did from every angle possible, coming from what you usually describe as murdering incentives, there's no incentives for this to be a murdering spree, because it's a very big spread out area. It's not as usually for murders to like go for such a, what was it, 93 square kilometers.
Okay.
Then also different ages. We got ranging from 8-year-old till 74-year-old.
Right.
Different genders and also different background people. Like, there's no clear indication of why we would then go specifically, if there would be a murder, why specifically go for this? Because murderers always have a signature. You know, they always do this one thing at all. You know.
Well, maybe this guy's signature is that he doesn't have a signature. See, that's what the murderer wants you to think there's a pattern, but exactly because there is none.
He just does it for the fun of it. Like, oh, yeah, look,
I mean, honestly, maybe this is just a murderer who knew what's up. Yeah, he's just good at his job. What can I say?
It's also very weird, the timings, in a sense of like year-wise. 1945, then 1 year later, 46. Then a 3 year gap, 1949, and then 1 year later, 2 in 1 year. In actually, in what was like 16 days apart.
Maybe his bloodlust was sated for a while, and then he was like, fuck it, let's. I'm really feeling it now.
No, I know exactly what happened.
All right.
All of those explorers found the Hall of the Mountain King.
Oh. The Hall of the Mountain King.
You know the story.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah. There's a whole, I mean, well, how did the thing go? How did the thing go? The soundtrack?
From what?
The Hall of the Mountain King. It's a very well-known.
Well, I don't know it.
Okay, wait. I will find it. I will. That was the thing. So anyways, imagine you're hiking or you're being anywhere around this one mountain, by the way, very specifically, a whole triangle, one mountain in the middle. Huh? Weird. Huh? Anyways, so imagine you are, let's say, Paula Jean Roman, right? The cold girl. She's walking down a trail. Just walking, everything, you know, hiking, and then on her left, she hears. Okay. She's like, oh, what is that? So, of course, curious young lady, she goes down the trail, gets snapped by the trolls immediately.
Okay, kind of violent.
No, as in like snatched, as in like not like killed immediately, she just gets snatched.
I thought you said snapped.
No. James Tedford, the guy on the bus.
Uh-huh.
He's riding the bus, probably sitting in the back seat somewhere, right? It's at night. He's had a party at St. Albans, going back to Bennington, just driving the bus, just chilling. And he hears, what is this? Not again. Oh my god. There's this music. You hear it. Gets pulled out of the freaking window by trolls.
Well, I guess that explains why nobody else would have noticed, at least.
Paul Jepson, the 8-year-old boy, farm, car. Red is his jacket. Very visible. He's just vibing. Mom left him alone. He's just like, he's probably very bored. Steps out of the car. What is this? I hear something. And he's a child. He's curious. The trolls even don't need to snatch him. The trolls are like, hey, little guy, want to come with us? We're little funny looking creatures. Want to see wonders? Come with us. And he's like, oh, let's go. They go down. Mini Rivers, the first one, the experienced outdoorsman, the one with the rifle. Well,
yeah.
He split from his son-in-law at a fork in a path, right? Guess why?
Mm-hmm.
Heard the music.
Because he wanted to hunt a troll.
Oh. Yo, because they found a single rifle. That's right. He was like, that was a plan. And both of them were like, well, there's a fork in the path. We don't know which one will have the trolls. Let's fucking get him. Split up. The classical American horror movie story, right? We're splitting right. up is the right plan, always. Split up, always, of course, yeah. The trolls are like, snatch him. Frida Langer, the one whose remains got found. Now, that's the only one we know, if the trolls got her, that she was killed, because they did find the dead body later on, right?
Right.
So that's the only one that we know that they killed. Because I'm not going to paint the trolls in a bad, you know? Imagine living as a sovereign king of the mountain. You would be like, I'm interested in my people's well-being, right? So, of course, if I have some people, you know, running around and maybe finding the wrong paths, well, what can I do? I have to protect my people. So I'm going to spin the story a bit more. So the guy with the rifle, the trolls have this like, they have this ability to emit this very well-known orchestra, right? the specific clip where they lure people in. For the guy with the rifle and Frida Langer, they use this to lure them in and then fucking kill them. Because they, this is the old people. 50, both of them are, one of them is 53, then the other one is 74. Maybe all those old boomers hate trolls. Right? So they were like, we're not going to risk this. But the other ones, the James Tedford, Paul Jepson, and Paula Jean Weldon, those are younger people, and they're like, you know what? We're gonna snatch you, but you're going to be ambassadors. We're going to make you live here in the mountain, and you're going to see that we're fine. We're fine, I'm telling you. And this is completely the right way to do it, like abducting an 8-year-old boy.
Right.
And then you're going to go back into the world, and you're going to be like, you know what? If the trolls exist, I'm not pointing any fingers at Bennington Triangle, but if the trolls exist, they're fine. We shouldn't kill them, you know? Because that's what, let's be honest, that's what humanity would do if you would find a troll. You'd freaking kill them and dissect them.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's not really, you're not much of an ambassador if you can't actually, like, do anything to prove they're nice, you know, if you're just locked in their cave
all day. Or maybe all of them just went to the freaking, they heard the music and its reality was like the best slamming party music for trolls. Every year there's this big party and they always slam this music and it's so loud, reverberates from the mountain, people hear it and they're like, oh, I want to join the party. They join the party, but the trolls are trolls. They party hard. Humans probably can't handle. That's where you find Frida Langer's body, split some out where in the woods. She probably got pissed out drunk, got somewhere into the woods and a badger ate her. That's why the remains.
And the other guys, they never came back because?
I mean,
they're still partying till this
day. Maybe it's worth staying in the mountain, huh?
Maybe it is. Well, I have another idea as well.
Go for it.
I think this mountain suffered of a stream problem.
Explain.
Well, something was wrong with the streams there, because we got two victims that explicitly had an issue with it, you know. Number one, Mans fell into the stream, probably drowned because he got knocked unconscious. Drowned in 10 centimeters depth of water, and then was slowly swept away, even though that's probably not really possible. He was slowly swept away.
The equivalent of drowned in soup.
Yes, it is. And for the last lady, she fell in the stream and was like, ah, shit, I need to go change. But it's secret, the water was full of parasites, so she just died on the way there, you know?
She ate her alive.
Yeah, exactly. Meanwhile, number two, you know, with no jacket, she probably fell in and froze to death instantly.
Just instant snap. Freeze.
I mean, minus 10.
No yeah. jacket. Yeah, nah, I can see that.
The boy, I don't know. Yeah, probably drown as well. You know, it's hard.
They sent the bloodhounds after him. Maybe the bloodhounds didn't find him, but then he did. And then the bloodhounds were like, oh, fuck. We weren't supposed to eat him, right? Let's go back to the boss and be like, we never found him.
The dog's fading innocence, like, I don't know. We're just vibing on the mountain. Anyway, the real mystery is number 3 again.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is going to be a bit creative, but this guy was ahead of his time. He was live streaming. Because it was such a future technology, right? And he, as a time traveler, he was watching a live stream and was like, wait, fuck, shit, I can't do this. And then he fucking TP'd out real quick, you know? Just so nobody would get suspicious. But he forgot all his stuff, and it was like, holy shit.
Oh my god.
Where is he? But in reality, he just, you know, time traveled back because he couldn't be watching a live stream. In the 1950s.
Literally drops in the bus, fuck, wrong time. Literally. TP's Whoops. Out, no clips.
There you go.
Well, it could be that. It could be something else too, though.
Yeah, you got something else?
I got something else. And the times, like, I think the timing is aligned. Don't remember the specific time, but, wouldn't these be somewhat right after the timing of us establishing that Everett Ross was a Bigfoot?
Everett Ross was the 1930s, no?
Exactly.
So that's...
10 years is enough time for coming from the desert of Utah to Vermont. That's a long hike, but I mean, he's a Bigfoot now.
Yeah,
there's a lonely mountain that he, like, honestly, like, he looked across the whole of US and saw this one lonely mountain in the middle of the forest, and he's like, I'ma go there. It's gonna be my home. But for the 5 years he was there, people just kept coming and bothering him. He just had to kill them, and he was like, fuck it, Alaska it is.
Yeah, maybe he was wrong about that being such a lonely mountain, huh?
Is it not lonely?
Well, I don't think it's very lonely. I think he made a bit of a judgment error, Everett.
Oh, like that? I thought you looked it up and there were more mountains.
Oh, no. I just mean like that there's a lot of people around, you know?
Yeah, I guess. He was like, fuck.
And he's like, well, shit. So first he tried to get rid of them.
Yeah, but that didn't help because, yeah, that would make sense because there were more and more disappearances going closer to 1950. People just kept coming. And he was like, oh, fuck. Oh, man. Fuck!
I've had enough. It's fuck it. I'm leaving again.
Yeah. Or maybe there's a hermit living up the mountain. He's just like, oh, I know what it is.
Yes.
Is the American equivalent? You know, like Americans heard this thing because sometimes people do that. Not in Nepal. They know when they somewhat feel like when they're gonna die, and they just go die by hiking up a mountain. It's ascension, right? And Americans, right. As always, they're like, oh, look at that, that's very cool, cultural appropriation, let's fucking go and die in fucking forests and mountains. And they chose this Bennington Triangle, and then an 8-year-old boy was like, wow, I'm gonna die soon.
Yeah, he was like, holy shit, I feel it coming, let me hop out of the car.
And maybe they ascended, and that's why they never got found.
Yeah, that's why the bus guy, he just ascended on the spot.
Maybe there's a dragon living in the lonely mountain, just like in The Hobbit.
It's gonna be, I don't know, pretty good hiding dragon that he never got spotted.
Well, you only have to come out, like, so many times to eat, and dragons just... For a dragon, the story goes, if he has enough, like, if the dragon has big of enough of a pile of gold, they're just gonna keep the gold, and they're just gonna be comfy. They don't want to even move. The only thing they probably have to do is eat once, like, a century or something like that.
Right. In a time. In this case, 5 times.
5 times in 5 years, I mean, that's a pretty good meal. 5-course meal, I would say. Like, you start with some appetizers at 74-year-old, then you get to the main course, 18, plump, young, mwah. A veteran Jesus from war Christ. Being like the garnish, then an 8-year-old boy as a dessert, and then as a midnight snack, 53-year-old.
I feel like the 8-year-old would be the midnight snack, but...
But yeah, then he goes back and sleeps on his mountain pile of gold.
Really, he was just waiting for people exactly that age range to come by. Like, oh, there's my dessert, finally, there he is. Get in.
He snatched the fucking... I mean, vanishing in, like, a farm? I don't know. You can, if you go by foot, you can only vanish in so many places. Not on a farm, I would say. So he must have been snatched by an aerial creature.
Yeah, I don't know, you know, these pigs...
The Mothman.
Oh, no. Please.
Well, whatever happened, I am just happy that none of the disappearances were of Italian descent.
Shut up. Shut up.
I'm just happy to place that in. Italians, keep vibe and keep rocking.
How can that be your final conclusion, you Eight-year-old boy gets killed. Well, at least he wasn't Italian, huh?
I mean, am I wrong?
Yes. Unfortunately, you are wrong.
No.
Well, so, will you lead us to the conclusion?
There is no conclusion.
There's nothing else
to say? There's nothing. Because I told you, the only things that they found and whatnot, I already told you in the story. There is no conclusion for this that is, like, you know, mostly agreed on. There's many, many theories, all of which are something that you already would expect, you know, a mysterious murder going about. Then there's the equivalent of Bermuda Triangle, but in Vermont, like aliens or whatnot. Radio waves from some old factory or something like that. There's a lot of conspiracy theories around the place.
Radio waves?
I mean, that's what people, like, when it comes down to, like, mysterious areas and disappearances, one of the first theories that people's conspiracy theorists go through is, like, some radio signals that mess with your brain.
Okay, and they just drop that on the spot, and then they somehow are never found.
Yes, I guess.
Well, alright. I guess on that note, we'll wrap it up?
It's going close to 50 minutes, right? So yeah.
Alright, just as a final reminder for everybody, don't listen to radio because you might die. Alright. So, if you want to contact us, either on Twitter, I'm going to say this every time now, but if it's dead, then don't bother with Twitter, just send us an email at thevagabonddilemma@gmail.com. If Twitter's around and you like using Twitter, just feel free to send us a message or reply to one of our tweets at thevagabonddilemma, just the name of the show. We also got Instagram for one of our hosts, Rudy.
000 RUDYS 000 three zeros, Rudy's three zeros. Please come. Give musical me some love.
Please come.
Because honestly, what's love got to do with it? What's love but a second-hand emotion?
Alright, well, on that Tina Turner musical note, thank you all for listening and have a great weekend. Bye!
Ciao!